showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, joined in studio by Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop Now, agent and craft beer. Well, you're an agent for craft beer companies, and Tommy Kramer, who will be a guest of ours this afternoon, along with Brad Blanks is going to be with us. I'm remiss, I have not yet introduced Sam, my daughter producer. She threw me off with something she said just before we started. Sam is here. Thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network, for inviting us to be part of the network back in July. If you would like to call in to us, 612-313-0289. Thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw & Bryant, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, MyPillow, the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brandt Homes, and Frontiersman, where you walk in, you mention the BS Show, get 5% off a used gun. Now, Kevin, I know, knows about this, and he even knows he's a Northwestern guy, because he'll be dealing with it tonight with some of the stories that come in. But are you a Minnesota guy? University of Minnesota.
Well, I cheer for him. I didn't go there. I went to St. Thomas, but I've got.
That's right. You're Tommies, yeah. But
yeah, I have my allegiance to the Gophers, yeah.
So you both know that they have named the finalist, the only finalist for the athletic director's job, is a guy named Mark Coyle. Now, he'd been at the U back in the early 2000s for a number of years, and he was an associate AD there. He went to Kentucky as an associate, then the AD at Boise State, and he was at Syracuse. Last June, he was hired there. Now he's, you know, less than a year later, he's coming here. My understanding is he's a Minnesota guy who this is his dream job. I have no problem with Coyle. The problem I have is with Eric Kaler, the president at the U, because he did the same thing, and Coyle could turn out to be terrific, but Norwood Teague was the only finalist. Why does he have a search committee if he's only going to bring one guy forward? That makes no sense to me.
It doesn't. And I'm a little disappointed. I was in the camp. You know, I hear that there were other guys that were interested, alums like, you know, Pete Najarian, Bob Stein, that never even got any kind of an interview.
Well, Najarian's a guy who I thought they should have looked seriously at.
I was in the Najarian camp, so I'm actually kind of disappointed that they didn't even give him a look. I thought that with, you know, the emphasis on fundraising these days, a guy that's become a money guy would have been on paper would seem a perfect fit. So I'm a little disappointed, but you know, this guy sounds like he's impressive, but you're right. Why have a search committee
give
if you're just going
to
have one guy? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think I love the timing of this the best, that it comes out the morning after we have the audit story that shows that
it's unbelievable.
Richard Pitino triple his budget for private jet travel. But that's not even my favorite part of the story. My favorite part is that he regularly returns rental cars without filling up the gas, and the U is getting all these bills after
that. And
the
it's
fact.
Like triple. That's like triple, right? If you don't bring it back with gas.
He's too lazy to get out of the car and pump his own gas.
Well, I think I put this on Twitter. It costs money to recruit miscreants.
You know, he should go coach in New Jersey after he gets fired here, because there he doesn't have to pump his own gas.
That's absolutely right. So. You don't know how odd it was for me when I moved here, and I'm sitting there in my car looking around. Nobody's coming to pump my gas. Because in Jersey, I don't know, is it changed? I mean, I don't think there's a gas station in Jersey where you can pump your own gas.
No, it's still the same.
It's like illegal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have somebody there. They you know, clean your windshield for you, too. They'll check the oil.
Make occasional nice conversation.
Yeah. But and you don't tip them. At least I never did when I was doing it.
I don't tip anybody in New
Jersey. There was one place, and I don't know if it still is, a Sinclair station in Edina, where they came and filled you up. That's the only place that I know of in Minnesota where they had
somebody. How recently was
that?
Well,
this is back in the 80s, mid-80s.
Yeah,
I don't even think the Sinclair station is there anymore.
I think pumping your own gas pretty much disappeared in the early 80s.
Well, that became my go-to place because it's what I was used to. And Sinclair was a station in Jersey that you can go
with
and
the
get
dinosaur.
Gas. With the dinosaur. Yeah. Sinclair's were big, and Hess was big. Hess being the owner of the Jets at
That's
the
right.
time.
Leon.
And Leon Hess. And then also, what was the other? There was another big one, the, I guess, Exxon or Esso.
Sunoco
was another
was
one.
Big.
And Esso, I don't think it was Exxon yet.
Esso still.
But I remember that.
That turns in the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
It's still Esso, though, up in Canada.
I did not know that.
You can look it up.
But the thing about this, and again, Coyle could be a terrific choice, but give him some more options. The only, I mean, I give, I guess, the, if I'm going to give Kaler any credits, that he didn't fall back and just say Getz is his choice or the finalist.
That would have been easy.
Yeah.
Way well, to go.
But. And I'm not, you know, and my issues with Kaler pretty much go back to when there was that, wasn't a campus uprising, but when a dozen or so students and non-students camped out in his office and actually went in his office, and there was a picture of him sitting in his office with kids laying on the floor and taking up all the sitting space, and he didn't have them carted off. He just a little too easy going, what are you reading there anyway? I see you looking at something there. You've got, is that related to Tommy? Who's one of your clients will be joining us a little bit later?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit. Well, it's a little fundraiser I'm doing for
Let's hear about that.
You guys know I'm running for Man of the Year for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. I'm doing it in honor of Tommy. His daughter, Cassie, has now twice survived anaplastic large cell lymphoma and trying to raise funds for the cause. And so
she's an adult now,
right? She is adult now, yes. But we've got a couple of former Vikings, one of them who actually also wore the number 9, Brooks Bollinger, and Ben Lieber are kind of headlining a little event out at Insight Brewing.
Well, Brooks is now the coach at Creighton, right?
Durham Hall, yep. Yep. He and Ben are going to come, and we have a few other guys pop in from 5:30 to 8:30 Insight Brewing on Friday. So, yeah, Tommy's the honorary captain of my campaign up here. He's helping someone down in San Antonio raise money. This is a big cause. It's been passionate for him. It's kind of become, you know, kind of rubbed off by osmosis on me. And so I'm just doing what I can to help raise funds to, you know, find a cure for blood cancers.
It's called
Brews with the Pros, yeah.
And where do they – what time does it start?
5:30 on Friday, and it's at Insight Brewing, which is 2821 East Hennepin Avenue.
Is it that's a craft brew
location? It is one of my clients, yeah.
Oh, well, good. And that's is this the first one you've done?
This is the only one we're doing because the campaign ends next week. So we're
okay.
$25 and cash bar, and all the proceeds go to Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
If you like to drink, it sounds like a good place to be headed to. I wanted to ask you guys, because we're going to Brad Blanks in a couple of minutes, but the Prince thing, did you see the footage last night of like 8 cars from, you know, they were, I think they were county sheriff cars flying into Paisley Park because they're doing another, they're still working on the investigation about the doctors who were involved and who should not have been writing prescriptions. I just don't understand. Okay, 8 cars, you can fit, what, 4 to 5 in a car? Do you need 40 people going in there? I mean, why do you need that many people?
I think they probably only ride two a piece, probably, though.
Okay, even so. Okay, you got 16 of them. They all just want to take a look at Paisley Park. I don't know. I mean, it's I haven't been involved in that. Well, have you ever had any dealings like that? Do you need that many cars to go in when you're doing a, you know, and it's like it was suddenly urgent to get in there.
I have not had an experience like that. I should probably go on and do the disclosure. Since I was last on here, my partner Ken signed up a couple of the half siblings as part of the estate. So our firm is actually involved with it. So
that's about 1% of them.
Wait, are these legitimate half-siblings?
Yes, these are ones that were known. Okay. Yes, yes.
This is not the guy in prison who's claiming that he's a son.
No, no. So I hear stories and things.
How many people are worried about that? How many of the half-siblings are worried this guy might have a claim?
You know, I think it was also anytime you have a celebrity estate, you all get the goofies come out of the woodwork. So I think it was expected. The same thing happened with Michael Jackson's estate. So it was anticipated. I don't know that it's.
But here's the thing about this one. I thought a complete bunk, particularly since he's on weapons charges in prison in Colorado, 38 years old. You think, well, why didn't they do anything? Why now? Well, I found out yesterday after we talked about it on the show that 5 years ago, his mother wrote a blog about, you know, her kid being Prince's child. And what I wonder is, and we don't know if this has happened, I wonder if she did go to Prince in those early years, because why wouldn't it come up? Well, maybe there was a settlement then.
The claim is that she ran into him in a lobby of some hotel someplace.
And didn't know he was
and
famous?
And they had a rendezvous.
That's how, and he was like 17 or 18 at the time.
Yeah, but I think it was out of town.
It was in Kansas City.
Yeah, so it's like, not the story. Yeah,
it was Kansas City in what, 1976. His first album came out in what, 1978.
Yes, oh my God. So I would, here's a good rule of thumb. If you are making your claim of Prince's paternity from behind bars, your claim should immediately be dismissed.
Well,
if you're actually currently incarcerated,
but you know what? There's a little sense of urgency to getting it done. It'll all be sorted out with the DNA. But I'm going with the what if. How about that, by the way? He how long is he in jail yet? Do either of you know how long before he gets out? Because it's $1 billion we're talking about.
It's like 7 or 8 years, I think.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. You could literally see the bars. It's kind of like when you would see the old 30 for 30s or whatever on ESPN, and anytime you saw a clip of Denny McClain talking, you could see the bars in the background.
But did he look any?
It had that same like golden background look that they used to have on
this. He should have done something about or gotten a wig to do everything he could to look like Prince. Asked if he could wear like a purple jumpsuit instead of an orange one just for the photo.
I think the bridge you have to cross when you're behind bars is much more than if you're just like some guy working at the bus depot and says, oh, my mom met Prince for 20 minutes once.
All right, now, I gave the what-if scenario, but here's the other scenario. Why would a guy do this knowing that he's not going to pass the test? The DNA test, because that period, and it could be several weeks, he is going to be the king of that prison. Because everybody there, he may pay for it later, but everyone's going to want to be his friend.
Depending on the prison, king of the prison is a pretty good gig. Remember like in Goodfellas? You know, they got all the great Italian food in there and stuff. And
the way it's set up, well.
If you're the king.
Now, it could backfire when the DNA test comes back and there's no relationship. At that point, they may want to put him in isolation.
Oh,
but right
just,
now...
He would just say, oh, they screwed up the test. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it wasn't done fairly. Yeah. Well, I've heard that argument before in other cases.
I heard that in the whole OJ trial.
Yeah, that it was something different. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We got to go to Brad Blanks, and then we're going to go to Tommy Kramer after Brad. Well, Kevin's here. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop Now. Would you prefer I start with At The Loop Now and then go the other
way? You can do whatever the hell you want, Bob. Anything's fine.
At The Loop Now.
As long as you spell the name right.
All right. And Jeff O'Brien, you're agent to the...
I've taken to calling myself business and leisure activities lawyer. I think that covers
business
everything.
And leisure activities lawyer. I like that.
Leisure is a great word.
It is a
just
good,
generally leisure.
I had a leisure suit back in the 70s. And boy,
it's probably still in your closet.
I took a beautiful. If I could fit into it, I'd be wearing it. Anyway, let's take a quick break. Come back with Brad Blanks. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com. Or call 952-224-7050, 952-224-7050, and that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Is it supposed to sound like that, this cup song?
No. That's not it? I couldn't get Kevin's request with
What is this you're playing? Because it's horrible.
You're hard to please on this bumper music. I had that simple communist anthem the last couple of weeks that you didn't like.
We could play that.
We need to stick with the oldies.
Speaking of communists, Bernie Sanders.
Yes, he did do well in West Virginia. This segment sponsored by the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team with offices in Edina and Stillwater. Are you looking to buy your first home? Looking to buy your third home? The MBT Mortgage Team is able to help you no matter your situation, whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. Again, that's Minnesota, MN. bankandtrust.com, mnbankandtrust.com, or call 952-841-9300, 952-841-9300, and contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender, NMLS number 490-951. We are joined by Brad Blanks. Now, Brad, I know that Prince once went to Australia. Is there a chance you are an offspring and you're about to inherit $1 billion?
Yes, my mum said it was the best sex she ever had. Yeah, she loved it, and I do have very tiny hips for a big guy. if you look close enough, but he was actually down there. I think probably a bit closer to. I reckon it might have been 89. He was down there. I was lucky enough to be at his concert, and it was fantastic. And that was around the time when he did the soundtrack for Batman. So he was, it was good music and good time. So, poor old Prince. It was a sad story for your town, your city.
Yeah, it's an ongoing one, too. There's a lot happening here. A lot happening out there, too. But that's in New York. That's just part of the symphony of New York, isn't it?
Yeah, right now in the background, we've got I'm on the corner of 32nd Street and 3rd Avenue. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic. No one's getting anywhere, and plenty of ambulances and policemen chasing something. Chasing something, Bob. I'm not sure what they're chasing.
Now, did you see the movie already, the Gosling movie?
Yes, Nice Guys. And it's funny how this whole movie game works, and I was told by the publicist that I was not allowed to talk about this movie for another week. They call it, the embargo.
Oh, okay.
They put on movies, right? No. I'm giving you the lay of the land. I don't give a shit. Yeah, Jesus. right? And then, so they tell you that beforehand, and you think this film. Oh no! When he said it to me, I was like, "What?" That usually means the film's quite bad.
Wait, isn't it opening Friday?
Yeah, I said this Friday. Then, all right. So if it's opening Friday, all right. So let's say it's opening Friday. So I saw it and I enjoyed it. I liked it,
good.
Bob. There's my early review.
Oh, that'll kill him. Yeah. That's no good. I don't want that to happen.
Right, no.
Well, you know what? Is it a slapstick comedy or is it? It's not serious.
It's a comedy. It's not slapstick. It's a comedy. Late 70s sort of caper movie. It's not done brilliantly, but it's good. It's not a Lethal Weapon because it's sort of a buddy flick.
Yep.
In that regard, but it's good. It's fine. I think we need more. We need more of these throwback movies because, I saw Captain America last week, but I just got back from Australia and I had terrible jet lag, so I was falling asleep during that like an old man. And I'm trying to analyze what's a good movie these days, and I still like the caper and a few laughs and good actors and that sort of thing. So that's where I'm at with my. Well, movie-going experiences.
Go see Captain America again, because I really liked it. I thought it was the best of that genre.
All right.
Now,
I've got to go see it. Yeah.
How long had it been since you've been to Australia? Was it a few years?
I was 1 year. I was a one-year between drinks and went back down there. Was there for a week. Took my son, because he had vacation week off school. So Yeah, it was good mission. They're all happy down there, Bob. It makes me realize what I would have become if I had stayed. They're all rich and happy. It's unbelievable. Yeah?
Not a bad thing. Now,
rich and happy. Yeah. They're like Minnesotans down there. Minnesotans.
Now, yeah, right. We're all rich and happy. Now, was that you took Harvey with you, right?
Took Harvey with me. Yeah, it was good. It was a good.
How old is he now?
About, he's six.
Okay.
We had a great first weekend, but and as you know, you got five kids. It's you got to serve it up to them. By about the fourth day, I was leaving him with grandma a bit, and that grandma's not an activities-based woman. You know, she's good at sitting down and playing cards and doing coloring and doing all that, but she's not taking him to any sort of museum. And that's where I realized I dropped the ball, and I started going to see friends and stuff, and he started getting a bit grizzly by about day five, six, and seven. It was just fair enough. It was a good child lesson for me.
Yeah. Yeah,
with a kid, Bob, you just got to keep throwing the ball at them. You just have to keep going.
It's like a puppy. You're right. You keep throwing the ball and let them chase it and hope they wear out. Going.
So how do you drink beer, smoke cigarettes, gamble? You know, how do you find time to make child number two, three, four, and five, Bob? How do you do it?
I don't know how it happened. It must have been. I think it was when I was in my sleep from exhaustion. Mary just did it for me.
Sorry, I ask you these questions with your daughters.
Yeah, I know. Thanks a lot, Brad. I really appreciate it.
I think I need to leave the room.
There's a great mental picture there.
Sorry.
I
apologize.
She was the first. She's our special one.
Yeah.
I was the only one that was planned.
She's the only one that was almost planned.
Now,
I was the only one that was on purpose.
Brad, I'm gonna let's switch
this.
That's
why I'm
special.
That's
what she keeps. That's what we told her anyway. Now, Brad, what did you think of Nyquist? I think he could win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I think he can. I think he might be. I mean, his running style is brilliant, isn't it? I love how he sits off the bat pace a bit and just a little bit, just to break, a couple of, only two lengths off him, I reckon. So he's always in it, and just strong at the end. He might be. He looks more impressive than the last couple of horses of American Pharaoh and California Chrome. This thing looks like, a bit to me like a Barbaro. If you remember Barbaro,
the one that sadly was put down. Yep.
Yeah. Now, yeah. In about 2006,
wasn't it? Yep. You mentioned there was a story on Barbaro I saw the other day. How you saw Barbaro, right? I mean, was this horse a potential Triple Crown winner? Was it? I mean, it was a stunningly exceptional horse, right? From what I recall,
Barbaro, but on the day, if you remember, the public went off him, and Barbaro's odds went out to about 6-1, and maybe started in the end. They crunched it leading up, and it was probably 5-1 started. They backed something else. The Wise Guy horse got smashed in that race. So Barbaro's odds, no one was on it. And then when it won so convincingly, that everyone was like, oh, this is a horse that's going to win the Triple Crown. And then in the case of Nyquist, they knew. The smart money was down on this. I mean, that's one of the shortest price winners in history, that 2-1 the other day. And Nyquist, everyone was saying, was a mile horse. And it's run a mile and a quarter easily. So it's easily going to eat up the shorter distance, the Baltimore track, Pimlico, and the big, obviously, the same story gets repeated every Triple Crown. Can they stay the mile and a half? Can they stay that? And if everything goes, in terms of health and whatever for the horse, I think it's a damn big chance for a Triple Crown.
The horse looked like, I mean, and this is not something that, when I've seen, all the Kentucky Derbies since as far back as I can remember, this one's a machine. I mean, because you can see, it's usually not so obvious. Sometimes it's subtle, but you could see the jockey battling to hold him back early in the race.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like leaning back in the saddle almost just so he doesn't take off. So he looks like he could have just let him go. He was 2 seconds, and again, tracks, depending on, year to year, it's not like it's, the times are different, but he was 2 seconds faster than American Pharaoh, and I guess 2 seconds slower than what Secretariat did. But I just wonder how this horse could have gone had they just let him go earlier.
Right. Yeah, I could have. You're right. But that's that whole thing. The jockeys that were coming from behind would have been licking their lips halfway through that race because they would have, figured out the time. They all apparently counted in their head, and they're like, geez, they've gone under 46 seconds for the, what is it, the four furlongs, you know, the 800 metres, yeah. And they were flying to open it up. And Nyquist was up just off the lead. So this horse was flying at the beginning, and everyone from behind would have thought, oh, it's going to crumble up front, and we're going to come from behind. And you got horses like Exaggerator and Sudden Breaking News who finished fifth, and they were flying at the end. And when you look at the stats, their last furlong, 200 yards, was very impressive, what those two horses did. So they couldn't even catch this horse, Nyquist.
No, it was
very impressive.
Well, Exaggerator's got to have it. He's got to be in his head now. It's four times he's lost to Nyquist.
Yeah, I know. And the only way you could substantiate it is Exaggerator could substantiate that they have a chance is if they line up in the Belmont Stakes and say, we need that extra 400 yards to catch this thing. That's the only way. I'm not saying that will happen. That's the only way the owners and the trainer and the jockey can sort of, you know, substantiate their claims at having a crack at the Belmont, the last leg of the Triple Crown.
Is Exaggerator going to run in the Preakness, or are they going to hold him out until Belmont?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet, but if I was the owners, everything's money. The Preakness is still worth $1 million, isn't it? So maybe you got to give it a run around. Well, but
initially,
you know,
he was going to. That was the announcement the day after.
Oh, really? Exaggerator was. Fair enough. Well, it's $1 million, isn't it?
Well, let me ask you this, though, Brad. Do you have to weigh then? Let's say he loses again to Nyquist. Then do you have to start to weigh what would it cost us if we run him in the Belmont and he loses again? I mean, are they losing a significant amount of stud fees, or is that not something you even think about?
No, I don't know. Exaggerator? No, I don't think so. I don't think stud fees is... Yeah, I think the decision they would make would only come down as how good can the horse be later in the year.
Yep.
You know, when you start thinking, you're not thinking stud fees by losing to Nyquist. They'd be thinking, we want to pick up a Group 1. There's plenty of Group 1 at late summer or late to mid to late summer where they can get their stud value. So I don't think, you know, you've got Breeders' Cup at the end of November and...
Yep.
You know, a horse like Exaggerator goes, we're going to line up at that.
And
that's our long-term goal.
And if he finishes second in three races, you know, to a Triple Crown winner, you know, that worked out pretty good for Aladar.
But this would be six losses to, to Nyquist. So
sure,
but you're right. But Aladar turned out to be a better stud than Affirm did.
But Exaggerator on Saturday had a really, like, rough front end of the race, didn't he? And, you know, so...
It could have been.
Well, he would seem like a nice bet in the Preakness because of the odds you'll get.
Yeah, that could be. I'm sorry, Brad. I cut you off there.
You just need. At the end of the day, they're all trying to find holes in Nyquist, and you've got to turn up to the dance. It's good for racing. You know, I don't think. You know, if Exaggerator turns up, I think that their connection should be commended. You know, you got to have a crack at $1 million, don't you? Nyquist might have a bad day.
Now, Brad, I got to ask you, do you have any, because I'm back on the KQ Morning Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Do you have anything scheduled on, like, you're not on tomorrow, are you?
My biggest thing is I've got to get audio, and I've been a bit slack in the last few weeks of getting audio, so.
Well, you've been out of town, you've been on vacation.
Yeah, been on the run a bit, but everything sort of fires up. I'm a very seasonal man. I'm like a horse, Bob. I'm like a horse.
It's very seasonal.
I'm very seasonal, so hopefully a few things open up for me in the next week, and I get some of these people want to have a chat to me, or I attack them somehow.
Well, I always love listening to the audio you get, Brad. Hey, Brad, thanks for making the time now, and I really appreciate it. And do you have good weather? Because I know they've had crappy weather back in New York and New Jersey the last few weeks.
It's beautiful today.
Oh, good,
it's great. But I got. My wife, she loved that I went to the Derby. She has no worries of that, but I got severe sunburn on Friday because I was drinking beer out in the sun, and my hairline's gone back half an inch, so I have this new skin that's seen sun for the first time. And
it was
a tough winter.
Well, Brent, I'm sorry, go ahead. You're going to heal from this, right? The hair's coming back at some point.
I will heal. Right. I will heal. But my wife doesn't want me to get the old Hugh Jackman melanoma. She's a bit nervous.
No, that's not. Yeah. That wouldn't be a good thing. Now, let me ask you this, because I asked the guy who owns Canterbury Park yesterday about. I want to ask you, how did you go to, because there's some people that contacted me about going to next year's Kentucky Derby. How did you go? Did you book it all on your own, or did you do it as a member of the media?
Yeah, booked it on my own. I had press credentials, but you can get tickets. The best ticket there is, I think on the Friday it costs about $400 to $500 a walk-around pass. It might be a bit more expensive on the Saturday. But you buy yourself a walk-around ticket, and that gets you in third-floor walk-around. So you want to be elevated, and then you can watch the race standing up anyway, anywhere.
Yeah, you're not going to be sitting.
That's the ticket. No.
Right. That's good information. Brad, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to talking again. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. See you, mate. Bye.
Take care. We're going to take a quick break. Kevin Cusick at The Loop now, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press. See, I went the other way. Business and leisure, or leisure and business attorney.
Business and leisure
business
activities.
Business and leisure activities mm-hmm. attorney, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That's like the coolest.
Jeff O'Brien. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a client of his and someone whose name will live on in the hearts of Minnesota Viking fans. And, well, we're gonna talk to him for more than his nickname, Two-Minute Tommy. Tommy Kramer will be joining us when we return.
Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bathroom models to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847 or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com.
For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota-made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer, and we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the bsblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too.
I got the feeling. Well, you can't go wrong with James Brown. It's not cover music, but we are back. We are joined by Kevin Cusick at The Loop now, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press, business and leisure activities attorney, Jeff O'Brien. He's decided to dub himself that. Also happens to know our guest, and Viking fans will know him very well, too, Tommy Kramer. Tommy, it's great for you to take the time to join with us. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, Bob.
Now, Tommy, I want to ask you about this because Jeff just gave me some information about. We talked about it earlier, and it's something I know that's very important to you. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, they're doing Brews with the Pros up here on Friday at Inside Brewing. And I wanted to ask, because you know a lot about this disease, and Cassie is doing well now, right, your daughter?
Yeah, she went through it a second time here about 6-8 months ago. She has anaplastic large cell lymphoma. And so she did the chemo and then did the radiation, and then she got a clean bill of health, so we hope it stays like that.
Well, that's really good to hear. Now, it's Brooks Bollinger will be here. Ben Lieber will be here, too, at the Brews with the Pros. You're also doing stuff. I'm sure you're very active in this down in Texas.
Yeah, we do that a lot. And then the reason I was going to come up for Jess, but then I found out my youngest daughter is graduating from college, and she has graduation on the 14th. So,
well, you
got to
be there.
Make it up to Minnesota. Yeah.
Well, it's busy down there because you got graduation, and you got to put some time aside to watch the Spurs.
Yeah, well, we were a little upset last night.
Tommy, I thought this was going to be, after that first game when they just blew out Oklahoma City, I thought they had them locked in. But as Kevin Cusick mentioned, Oklahoma City's figured them out a little bit.
Well, Oklahoma's got two pretty good shooters on that team. And then they got a big front line, too.
Yeah, it's a hell of a team, and it's both of those guys. I think they've removed the doubt about whether or not Westbrook is a superstar. The Dallas owner Mark Cuban had said, he's not a superstar.
That was a bad call at the ends of the game when they didn't call the foul as he was driving to the basket, and instead they waited until he made the basket and called the foul there. That was kind of chintzy.
Yeah, but you know what the old saying is: it ain't over till it's over. And the way we look at it, there's two games left.
Well, and that would be a guy with a nickname, Two-Minute Tommy. You would certainly feel that way. It's not over until it's over. Now, I know you keep up with the Vikings, and Jeff, we talked a little bit off the air. Jeff had said, well, you ask him about Teddy Bridgewater. Well, I'll ask, what do you think of him?
Well, I think, I think he's a good quarterback right now, and the only thing that I would change on him is his release of the ball, because to me it's too much sidearmed.
Yep.
And if you can't come over the top of the football, you can't control the nose of the ball coming down to the receiver.
Well,
on the deeper passes.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, do you have any tips for him for the deep? You are a great deep passer.
Well, I could have that cured in 1 week.
Well, they need to bring you up then for camp.
But I mean, that's the only flaw that I see in his mechanics.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's it's a problem because it's – well, I remember – do either of you remember the game when they had the Hail Mary and it fell about 7 yards short of the end zone? I don't remember what game it was, but that was not a good thing.
No.
Well.
You know, when you
– But Hail Marys are a hell of a lot of luck, too.
Yeah, but you had
to... You got to get it to the end zone, though.
Yeah, you have to get it to have the chance.
You got to get the hail part in order for the Mary part to come through.
And you... Now, Jeff may know because he represents you, so he should know this. If you don't, how many Hail Marys did you have in your career that were... Because the Two-Minute Tommy nickname did not just come along because somebody thought it sounded good. I mean, you had a lot of... end of halftime and end of game wins because of things you did. And how many of them do you recall were Hail Mary plays? Do you remember?
Well,
did Cleveland in 80?
No, I really don't remember. Cleveland was the one that's the most outstanding because there was 14 seconds left on the clock and no timeouts.
And it was two plays.
Yeah, two plays, 80 yards, 14 seconds.
In terms of back-to-back plays...
Right.
That was the best ever.
Squadron right, hook and lateral, with throwing the ball to Spencer, and he doesn't even catch it. He just bats it back because two linebackers are hanging on his arms. And he bats it back to Teddy Brown, and Teddy Brown starts going around the corner, looks up, knows that he's not going to have enough time, so he steps out of bounds at the Cleveland 46-yard line.
Yeah, I didn't start covering the team until 84, and as you know, 84 was an interesting year because Steckel was the coach, but I will say that my favorite years covering the team were when you and Wade, he was a quarterback, and Millard was on that team, and Dolman and Henry Thomas, and I mean that was a fun team for me to cover, and you guys had some nice years in there with Jerry Burns too.
Oh yeah, we've gotten some good players. You win with players. And I don't necessarily mean that coaches don't help you win, but the players are the ones that have to make those plays.
Well, and Anthony Carter wasn't a bad guy to have on your side.
Oh, he was. I tell you what, I've never seen a first step after he caught the ball like he had. I mean, I throw him that quick slant and he was gone.
Well, the best line, what was his last name? You had a scout. It was Ralph. I don't remember his last name, but I remember standing next to him on the sideline at training camp, and he said he's unbelievable. If you look at him, he's got these what looks like two burnt matchsticks for legs because they were so skinny, but he could just fly. And he the unfortunate thing for Anthony is, you know, because they had Chris Carter and Randy Moss, he kind of gets forgotten of how great he was. I mean, it was him and Jerry Rice for a few years as the premier wide receivers in the NFL. I mean, you certainly had a bit to do with that too, because you were the one throwing it to him and giving him the opportunity to make those catches.
But I got to tell you this story about Anthony Carter, because I got hurt in '83 when I blew up my knee, and I think we signed Archie Manning.
You were actually '83. You were 6-2 when you got hurt. You went 2-6 the rest of the way after you were done playing.
But we signed Archie Manning.
Yep.
All right. So we're down at training camp, and whatever the first year is, we got AC. Anthony Carter,
throwing, yep, 85.
Yep.
Yeah, so we were throwing patent goals, you know, throwing, just working on the deep ball. And I told Archie, I said, you better get back on that pitch step quick and let it go, because this kid can run. And so, sure enough, Archie drops back, lets it go, and he kind of underthrows him. AC has to wait on it. I said, I told you he was fast. And so AC's walking back to the huddle, and Archie looks at him and says, AC, he said, did you catch that rustler? And she said, what you talking about, man? He said, the one that stole them calves.
you play with some good. I was only around him a couple of seasons, but he was a hell of a guy to be around too. And
hell of a nice guy.
I do remember now. This would have been '84, and he was playing in a game against, I think it was against Philadelphia, when he was sacked 7 times. Do you remember that?
No, that was against the Bears.
Oh, it was the Bears. All right. But I remember asking him afterward, and I asked the center at the time. I said, well, what about all those snaps over Archie's head? Because it wasn't Archie's fault. And he goes, I didn't know I snapped him over his head. Dan Radakovich, the line coach, never told him that he was misfiring on all of the shotgun snaps. And poor Archie was getting probably beaten so much he didn't even think of telling him, because he was taking such a beating that day. So,
Archie says that I was just taking a dive.
He didn't want to deal with that onslaught. That's right. That was a hell of a team that year. Now, Tommy, key question. How many rounds of golf have you gotten in this year so far? Because you got pretty good weather there, right?
We had a lot of rain. Of course, then I had my knee replaced June 23rd of 15, and so I didn't do anything.
That slowed you down, yep.
Yeah, and then it was like we had the El Nino season. We're above our best, you know, we've been in a drought for so long, and now we've got plenty of water.
And so, I mean,
I played probably maybe 8 times.
Oh, that I would have thought it would be much more than that. How is the knee? Is it working the way you'd hoped it would be?
Knee. I mean, that was a godsend. Because, you know, I got my flexibility back pretty quick, and there wasn't a lot of pain. And once they took all the staples out and all that stuff from the skin, and that healed real, you know, very nicely, and then did physical therapy for about 2 months.
And then, you didn't have both knees. It was just this knee. I mean, have you had problems with the other knee too?
Just the right. No, it was the one that I hurt in '83 against Tampa.
Because, every quarterback who played at that era, you guys took a beating, because there wasn't as much protection for quarterbacks as they have now. And you were...
Well, all I remember is that the 78 game against the Rams, and Jim Youngblood picks me up and twirls me around 3 times and body slams me to the ground, and I went into convulsions and woke up halfway to the hospital in the ambulance. They had me strapped down on their gurney. And I kind of woke up, and I'm like, I hear sirens going. I said, what happened? And they said, oh, well, you got sacked really bad, Mr. Kramer, and we're taking you to the hospital. I said, did I fumble? And they said, no. I said, well, then take this stuff off of me.
Let me get back. That's pretty good. Well, Tommy, you did. Yeah. I mean, you had a. I did not see the earlier years, but it was a lot of fun covering you and watching you play. You know, 84, 85. Well, the years that. Because your last year, what was your last year? Is it 88 or was it after that?
89.
Okay, so
89 was my last year.
So that was pretty much that might have been Burnsy's last year too.
No.
Well, Burnsy went 90.
Burnsy was 91. Was last year.
He did go that long. I didn't realize that.
89 was the Herschel. The Herschel trade year.
I just talked to Burnsy the other day.
I haven't talked to him since the football season. How is he doing? Is he feeling okay?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He just gotten back from Jamaica about a week earlier, and he says, "Wow, I noticed this piece of paper on my desk that Tommy Kramer called, wanted me to give him a call." Because I called him to wish him a Happy New Year. he was gone from December 20th until just about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's funny. You know what's amazing? I've always said I'm not sure if the Mick and Rocky was patterned after Burnsy or if Burnsy just saw the movie and said, yeah, I kind of like the way that guy is. Because he is the only thing different about Burnsy, because you've seen him recently, his hair got a little grayer. He doesn't look any different. He's always looked old.
Yeah,
I asked him,
I said, Burns, are you still playing golf? And he said, well, if you want to call it that. he is the funniest person I've ever met that doesn't necessarily try to be funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's a natural thing for him. And he, of all the coaches I've covered over the years, he and John Gilardi, I don't know if you ever met John from St. Thomas, are the two guys I enjoyed dealing with the most. Because Burnsy was just a character. And Gilardi's a great guy, too. So it was a lot of fun. And also, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, Tommy, tell the story. He's got a good one. You know, Tommy was a rookie. Before, everybody thinks about the Cleveland game. But when Tommy was a rookie, that was the year that Tarkenton had broke his leg.
Yep.
And Bob Lee had come in. But Tommy came in relief in a game in San Francisco, December 77 against the 49ers.
Yeah.
8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And they're down 3 touchdowns. And he brought them back. And that's when everybody started, you know, here got to understand the two-minute Tommy thing, but the game, he won the game with about a 70-yard bomb to Sammy White. But tell the story about how you and Burnsy, when you called up to Burnsy to ask for to send in the play.
All right, well, so I come against 49ers, we're behind, I think it was 21-7 at that point. And there's 8 minutes and 8 seconds left on the clock. And they're punting to us, and I'm watching the ball go up in there, and Bud's starting to walk down the sideline. He says, rookie, get in there. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I got these two sauna rocks in my big overcoat. I've got to get this out without having them fall out on my toes. And so I took them off carefully, and I was trying to jog out on the field, but my ankles wouldn't bend. So it took a while to get them to bend, and so I go in, throw a touchdown, come back next series. They kick to go. They're up 24-7. Throw another touchdown, and so we're behind 27-21. So I get into the last possession, and throw two incomplete passes, and so I call timeout because I had 3 timeouts left. And I said, "Let me talk to Burnsy on the phone." So yeah. I get on the phone, Burnsy. I said, "Burnsy, what you got?" "I don't know what you got." I said, "Well, I'm looking. You know, do you want to do this? Try to get the first down in 2 plays. Do you want me to go deep?" "Well, whatever you think. Whatever you think."
Well, he trusted you. Whatever you think.
So I told Burnsy, I said, "Well, every third down that I've had, they've been giving me cover two, double zone."
Yeah.
I said, "What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put Sammy and Ahmad on the right side. And have Terry Count split out on the left, and knowing that I'm going to get double coverage, I'm going to pump fake to Rashad on the fade pattern, you know, hoping to pull the strong safety." And I told Sammy, I said, "You got to run. I'm going to tell Sammy to run straight up at the inside corner of that safety, but do not cross center line." He goes, "Oh, great play. So I hit Sammy with a 69-yard touchdown pass and beat him 28-27.
Oh, that's a great story. That's one of the ones that I hadn't heard that about. Because, I mean, there were so many, like the Cleveland game that came after that. Do you know who gave the two-minute Tommy nickname? Was it –
He got that in high school, right, Tommy?
Well, you came –
Yeah, I had that, yeah, ever since high school.
So you had it at Rice, too? That nickname stuck through college, too, until you got here?
Yeah, he started doing this in as a junior in high school, and he was quarterback in the varsity team down at Robert E. Lee when he won the state championship down there. He started having this – I hear from his friends down there that he was two-minute Tommy for us long before he was two-minute Tommy for you guys.
So, obviously, none of it ever bothered you. I mean, the pressure was certainly never an issue.
No.
That's really neat.
I mean, you know, when you prepare yourself as much as I did to play and, you know, and to win, you know, it's just another, you know, another day, but it's at the end of the game.
Yeah. That's a neat story, though. What do you got? that's Burnsy.
I mean, I was expecting him to tell me something.
Give you some great insight.
What do you got?
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, Tommy, I got to tell you, I really appreciate you taking the time with us. Thank you for making this time, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks to Jeff for setting it up.
You're quite welcome.
I'd love to talk to you again, Tommy. Thank you. All right, take care.
Okay, call me anytime.
All right, we're gonna let the Vikings know to get you up here for a week to work on take care of that Bridgewater mechanics.
All right, you got it.
All right, take it easy.
See
thank
TK.
You.
All
right, take care. All right, Tommy Kramer, thanks for joining us. Kevin Cusick and Jeff O'Brien will be right back with Ruth Lorden.
Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
Something
that's not,
happening
that's
here.
Not, that's not how any of
we are back. Kevin Cusick. Exactly we'll mix it up even more. TwinCities.com, At the Loop Now, Pioneer Press, business and leisure activities attorney, Jeff O'Brien. Thank you to Jeff for setting up Tommy, who's a client of his, Tommy Kramer. I also want to mention the Brews with the Pros on Friday, this Friday. I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th. Insight Brewing in Minneapolis, 2821 East Hennepin Avenue. You can hang out with former Vikings Ben Lieber and Brooks Bollinger. It is to benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Minimum donation of $25 goes directly to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and it's a cash bar, so it's it's for a very good cause. You can go to AMESports.net for more information on that. We are joined by Ruth Lord. Now, Ruth, you got to answer this question for Kevin, who's a lifelong Cubbies fan. Can they win the World Series in the next century?
No, I mean, yes.
let's narrow it down, maybe.
Absolutely. There'd be nothing better than a Cubs-White Sox World Series. In a way, it would be karma for Chicago losing the Olympics.
Well, you know, the greatest Cub team, record-wise, was in 1906. That was the Cub team that won 116 games. And they lost the World Series to the White Sox, who were that year known as the Hitless Wonders.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they beat the Cubs in six. It was one of the biggest upsets in
baseball
history.
That's when they played nine, right? Best of nine,
it was
right?
Best of nine, and they won it in six.
But the key is they cannot win the World Series in that building because that curse is still on it. So the last game cannot be played in the World Series at Wrigley Field.
Oh, so the All-Star game is huge.
But the White Sox are still under the radar because, I mean...
Oh, wait a minute. They could, if they sweep, they would wind up winning on the road, right?
Well, theoretically.
If they're, you know,
but,
the top team.
But the White Sox, I mean, the Cubs are like six games ahead of the rest of the National League at this point. But the White Sox are about three or four ahead of everyone in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable because the White Sox are doing it with a whole bunch of pitchers that weren't expected to do, like Matt Latos.
Yeah, but last year I met the White Sox trainer, and he is amazing. If Minnesota would catch up, he is advanced. He's doing modern techniques. He's not nonsense sports psychology. They have the right stuff. And on a karmic level, you can afford to take your family to the White Sox park. The Cubs has gotten outrageous, you know, $1,500 to go sit somewhere and drink champagne and do that whole thing. But The White Sox are doing it right.
And the two best records in baseball. It is impressive. So that would be great.
I mean, and I think at this point they're both going to get to the postseason. The question is, how are they playing at the end? Are they healthy? And what happens?
There's the key. Are they healthy? And the way that trainer is taking care of the White Sox, you know, there's a real guarantee they will be. Now, you've got to keep them out of the bars at night, you know, how people get in trouble. But.
Now, a White Sox-Cubs series, World Series, it would be one of the hottest tickets of any sport we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it would be mind-boggling. But here's the thing. During the regular season even, I looked it up last year. I was checking the bleacher pricing because back when I was in college, it was $3 for the mm-hmm. bleacher seats. And now they have variable pricing. It's literally different for almost every game, depending on whether it's day, night, summer, spring, who the opponent is. The highest priced bleacher tickets were for the weekend White Sox series in July. It was like the weekend after July 4th. And bleacher tickets were $78.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. If you can even get them. Yeah, you're going to pay a lot more than that
gone.
For them.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and that's what I mean. The Whites, it's unrealistic and it's not cool. Baseball is a sport for kids. You're supposed to be able to take your family there, and it becomes unaffordable. That's not good.
But if they were in the series together, those are also comparatively two small parks. So the prices of tickets
they're going to be outrageous,
beyond belief.
Now, Ruth, I'm guessing because I mean you know you were in the Steve Stone book, and you know so you knew him, and so are you a Cubs fan? You grew up in Chicago. Were you a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan?
Cubs. I never got to go to the White Sox. I got to see Ernie Banks. If you remember, we all met him when Mary was running for Mrs. Minnesota.
Yeah.
I only got to see him get to second base. I never got to see him hit a home run
with Mary. Oh, sorry.
Hey.
But I did get, that was like a big deal, was to get on the L and go to the Cubs game, go to Wrigley Field. That was like a big, big deal.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. So this could be the year of a Chicago team winning the World Series.
Yeah, I like the way you put could and a Chicago team.
Of course, the Sox just won 11 years
ago. I am rooting for the White Sox.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because they don't charge as much.
Oh, all right.
You know, I mean, they're making it realistic. And I think it's kind of funny. They need a little help because I think it's funny, but one-third of their merchandising is because of gang people buying their logos. There's some gang that uses their stuff.
Well, could be more than one.
It's kind of funny.
Ruth, let's get your vibe of the day.
Peace and love, people. We can all get along and come together on projects and goals. The universe is expanding, changing, and growing, and our place is guaranteed and awesome. Have faith. Let it unfold from the perspective of a strong mind in an evolved heart, and all dreams come true. And I really need to pay attention to the peace and love part, because all of these people bullying you and Sam online makes me think that when I come out Sunday, I wanted to bring my little dollies and my pins.
Well, you don't need those because we handled it. I mean, people just don't understand. They took we're criticizing a photo Sam took. She had three little girls on a horse, and the woman, you know, was thinking, oh, that's too much. It's too much. Please.
She said, so sad. I feel sorry for this horse. Just because he's even tempered doesn't mean you should overload him.
You know what? This horse has been the most pampered and loved horse I've ever seen.
This horse weighs almost 1,000 pounds.
Yeah,
it's fine.
But anyway, these stupid people. And I've dealt with a number of stupid people lately.
You think people commenting on the internet a lot of times aren't that bright?
I know, that's amazing, isn't it? No, they're brilliant.
Well, it's a learning experience.
Yeah. But as I said the other day, people said, well, why don't you just ignore it? And there are a lot that you ignore, but sometimes they get emboldened because they think they can say whatever they want. And sometimes you need to address it.
Especially if they don't go by their real name, if they go by some nickname or just...
Or they have a made-up site. Yeah, and that happens too. Mm-hmm. So, well, Ruth, your vibe of the day?
Just gave it.
No, I know that. But your vibe of the... Your vibe of the day. I'm looking forward to it. We got two more heading into the weekend. I also wanted to mention tonight, you're going to be at the Medina.
Oh, yeah.
6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Well, 6-ish. I technically start at 6:30, but a lot of people VIP in earlier.
All right. And today and tomorrow you'll be there. Thank you, Ruth. Ruth Lorden, RuthLorden.com, at Psychic Ruth. Thank you again, Kevin Cusick, at The Loop Now on Twitter.
There's one word we haven't mentioned today.
What?
One word that we haven't mentioned for the first time.
Trump.
Trump. Just wanted to get that in.
Now we mentioned it. Well, it's not so much fun when he's on his own or by himself.
Yeah.
But tomorrow he's meeting with Paul Ryan. That'll be an interesting one. Ryan's going to be a bit of a showboater.
Ought to be a fly on the wall.
For that one is right. But TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press. Thank you, Kevin. Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure activities attorney. Tommy Kramer's attorney. Brews with the Pros is going to be Friday the 13th, Inside Brewing, 2821 East Hennepin Avenue, to benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Jeff is involved with that, and Inside Brewing is one of your clients, too.
Yes, it is, so as is AME Sports. So,
it's all together.
AME Sports.
They're all helping me out. So it's fun.
Good. Well, you want to check that out, amesports.net. You can get more information there. Thank you to Brad Blanks and Tommy Kramer for joining us. Sam. Thank you.
Thank you. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody.
All right. Somebody pointed to you played. The one I didn't like was by Rage Against the Machine.
It was, yes. I could have told you that because I'm the one who played it.
I thought you were just hitting buttons. And that's what Bulls on Parade is what it was called.
Yep.
For anyone wondering. Thanks to Joe Steinhauser for pointing that out. Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you later. I just got to tell you. Anyway.